Our message today is called Prophecy. I'm going to try to say it along with the lines of the readings that we have for the Advent candle and stuff, so I thought we would be able to do that. And then I was getting into prophecy. There's an awful lot into it. So you're going to see there's an awful lot of scripture verses on your half sheet of paper. And on the back side, there's a slide that we have that talks a lot about some of the prophecies of Christ. So I know some of you are like, you know, writing things down. I'm not going to go through those scriptures, but just a reference to them. So you, on your own, you could go to those and just kind of look for confirmation of the prophecies of Christ. Well, as we look at prophecy, we understand that prophecy really is very important in the life of a Christian, because there are things that are spoken about that give us hope, an eternal hope that isn't anywhere else. And it's not talking about a hope where, you know, I hope that when I cross the road that, you know, this, I'm not going to slip on the ice or something like that, not knowing exactly what's going to happen. But that's the hope that we have in Christ, is the hope that we know is a guaranteed item, and that's what puts us through some of the struggles that we have in life, because it carries us, knowing that in the end, if we want to call it that, we have a greater place in which to go, which is going to be with God. And there's going to be a place where there is, as Vernon was saying, no sin. And there's going to be a place where there's no disease, no sadness, sickness. It's just going to be a place of God's goodness and love. And so we have that. Prophecy speaks about that. And it speaks about the process of going all the way through that initial sin that Adam and Eve started for all of us, and then to God's plan to be able to rectify that and to redeem us from that sin. So prophecy really is kind of a neat thing. Let's just begin with a word of prayer, and then I'll go through my line here. Lord, I do thank you for the gifts that you've given us with the scripture. It helps us to know more, and as we go through scripture, it just seems to be more and more stuff all the time. We ask not to flood us with information, but we ask to be able to understand what's there. So we pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us in all that's heard and all that's spoken, and it's according to your will and becomes part of the foundation of who we are, which is a Christian, a Christ believer, and that our lives are different because of that. So we just thank you for that, and we just pray all of this through your Son. Amen. So what is prophecy? Well, prophecy can be looked at as prediction about the future or the end times. It's not always about the future, though. Sometimes it's just speaking of what was spoken in the past, but will come to fulfillment. And so it's just a continuation of that. Sometimes it could be special messages from God through a person, or even like through an angel, or it can be the divine will. We can look at it, the divine will of what's going to happen here on this earth and what would happen there in heaven. So as we look at this and realize that there is a lot to prophecy, I am not going to be able to get to the point where I can share enough about it and to get you to know everything there is about prophecy, because I don't know enough about it to do that. I'm just being honest, you know. There's so much out there, and sometimes we get confused because there is too much out there. So my message today is to give you some stuff, but to ground you into the basis of why we need prophecy, and to also think about how prophecy works for us, right, in terms of our lives. So prophecy, sometimes we can be received through the direct word of God, and it may be God spoke specifically to you, and there's a word that needs to be spoken because of that. We know in the past God has spoken to specific individuals, and they then relay that information to the Israelites or to God's people, and it's that direct contact with God speaking to them. And that message, like Jeremiah speaks about, he says, you know, I don't like the messages that I'm giving these Israelites, because they're really some of doom and gloom, because they just really weren't following God's thing. And he says, I'm done. I'm not going to be giving any more messages. But those messages kept coming to him, and he's like, I'm just bubbling up. I can't hold them anymore. I got to get them out. And that's really how God works in the prophecy motion. So if God wants you to speak a word that he has given you, you will do that, because God just makes you in a way. That word can come from an angel. We know that there's stories. Even when we talk about Mary, you know, she was spoken to by the angel Gabriel and gave a prophecy about the child that she was going to have, who that child was going to be, and what was the ultimate return of having that particular child at this time. Sometimes we have them in dreams. You know, some of the apostles had dreams. Sometimes they had visions. And then other times, it's sometimes the life that people live can be a prophecy as well. And I'm going to just show you that one there and just show you that as you study Scripture and even just read Scripture, there gets to be, you know, the connecting of the dots sometimes, especially from like Old Testament to New Testament, because it just gives us a little bit more understanding of what's out there. So I want to show you, we're going to look at Moses, and we're going to show you a little some of the things that happened in his life and reference that to the life of Christ. And we'll see some things here. So in Exodus, and it says up there, Moses is a type of Christ. But in Exodus 1:15 through 16, it says that the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Sapphira and Pua, "When you help the Hebrew women with in childbirth and observe them on the delivery stool, if it's a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, let her live." Right? And this was a time where the Pharaoh was nervous about the number of Israelites that were being populated in Egypt. And so they figured the best way to control them is get rid of the boys. Well, these women didn't do that. Finally, Pharaoh said, "Fine, just kill every newborn male." Right? Just kill them all as they're coming through. Let's look at Matthew 2:16. It says, "When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi." Similarities? Old Testament, New Testament. We've got, let's look at another one here. In Exodus 16:15, Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat," because this is all reference to the manna that was given out. And as God gave the quail and he gave the manna, people woke up in the morning, there was this dew on the ground, and then as the dew dried up, there was all these little thin flakes that was on there. And the people said to Moses, "What is this?" His response is, "This is the bread from heaven." Right? And it's really supposed to be sweet, you know, the taste of honey and stuff. People collected this every day, except for the Sabbath day, and that's what they ate while they were in the desert for those 40 years. And then we go to John 6:32-33. It says, Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Who's that?
Jesus,
yeah. Right, that's always the right answer for a Christian. What's he, who is it? Jesus. You know, it's always the right answer for that one. We know that. But you see the reference between Old Testament, New Testament, and times of like Moses that was there. And then we got another one from Moses in Exodus 34:28. It says, "Moses was there with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments." So he went up to Mount Sinai, got these tablets that God actually wrote, you know, the commands that were on there. But for 40 days, Moses had nothing to eat or drink. Oh, let's look at Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting, how many days? 40 days and 40 nights, right? He was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' But look what Jesus says. 'It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Really, Jesus is using Scripture, using God's words. And is it really the same synopsis that is set up over in here? And then we go into the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, and it says, "For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people.'" Let's just stop there a moment, right? So this is a prophetic word. "Out of the descendants of Israel will come a prophet, similar to me," right? "But greater even," right? He says, "You must listen to everything he tells you. everyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people. Right? Isn't that what we need to do? We need to listen to that prophet that Moses is talking about, who is, and the big Christian word is, Jesus. Not that Moses knew exactly who Jesus was, but the prophetic words that were spoken was all about, basically, drawn out based upon the life that Moses had. His life becomes a prophetic message. And all the things that he did and experienced and stuff, Christ kind of went through those. You can look at Joseph as well, the son of Jacob. There's many things, there's similarities between the things that he did that Christ does. And so we start to see some of that and knowing it. And the reason I bring that up is because there's something that's very, very important in terms of understanding God's Word. We like to hear the Christmas stories, the story of Christ coming as a newborn baby. And we know that, as Barb was saying, you know, Mary's life was just upset, you know, turned around by becoming pregnant before she was actually married by the Holy Spirit. But, you know, regardless of that, it was by looking from the people outside onto her, she had done something wrong. And there was a price that she was going to pay. And Joseph was actually going to divorce her quietly because even he didn't agree with what was being done. But an angel came to Joseph in a dream, right? And again, there's that prophetic word, marry her, all right? What she is carrying is special, is, you know, from God. And so then he follows through and does, you know, the things that the prophetic word actually was there. Knowing the stories is nice. And it's good. It can give us encouragement of what's out there. And we can even take Scripture and we can get back to the point A, the point B, and connect the dots. And we can get a greater understanding of how God works and in the lives of us. Not just the people that are around there, but in, working in us. But I dare to mention that there's one thing that's even greater yet. Is that God wants you to participate in the story. He wants you to become part of that message that he has. Just like Mary being pregnant by, you know, the Holy Spirit, she becomes directly involved with God's plan. Right? You can't hide that pregnancy. It's there. Right? And God wants us to become equally a participant. Not that everybody has to get pregnant. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we need to be part of God's plan. And when we have the prophetic word, we know then that God does have a plan, and by the grace of God, we understand a lot of the prophetic stuff based upon our time, because we are now, many of the prophetic words and things that we've been given have already come to fulfillment. And there's many more that still need to come to fulfillment. And sometimes we debate about how they're going to happen. And it's not so much that we know they're going to happen. What we don't know is when they're going to happen. Scripture doesn't really mention that a lot. It does sometimes, and we can do some backtracking, and I'll show you that in a moment here when we can do that. But the idea is that those prophetic words help us to be able to participate in God's plan. And if you read the end of the story, the end of the Bible, do you know who wins? God wins. And over this battle of good and evil between God himself and what Satan wants to do in terms of pulling people away from God, God wins. So if you are like a betting person, right, this is like the inside story. Place your money, your bets on Jesus. Better yet, place your trust, your faith in him. Not in the world, because you will be blessed because of that. The fruit, you know, the multiplication that comes from that, of being able to do God's work, it blesses God and it blesses the people around us. So when we hear a prophetic word, how do we know it's true or not? Well, Jeremiah kind of spoke this here in chapter 28, verses 9. He says, "But the prophet who prophesies peace will be recognized as one truly sent by the Lord only if his prediction comes true." Now, he says this specifically because he was not prophesying peace. He was prophesying destruction, that the Israelites were going to be taken over, killed. But all the prophets, all of God's prophets, were saying, "No, we're God's chosen people. He will never let that happen. He is going to protect us, and we are going to live in peace and harmony. We'll have all the riches of the world around us. We don't need to worry about a thing." And here the Babylonian army is banging on the walls of Jerusalem. And within time, all of Jerusalem is destroyed. Temple demolished. And just a small remnant survive, being taken back to Babylon. So all those people that prophesied peace never came to. They were not God's prophets. What Jeremiah prophesied was true, and it did come to fruition. He was the true prophet. So we have to have sometimes a discerning heart in terms of when we have prophecy spoken today, how that's going to be. Well, we can always wait the number of years. You know, some people said already, you know, Christ was going to come in 1974. Well, guess what? 1974 has come. Christ hasn't come. And then, well, Christ is going to come in 81. Well, 81 has come and Christ has not come before. You know, so those people that are prophesying this, I'm just throw them out the door. Right? They're trying to get attention. They're trying to get recognition. But they're like the ones that Jeremiah is talking about that prophesied peace, but that peace was never to come because they're not prophesying what we're supposed to do. But think of all the prophets that spoke. Most of them, and actually the whole plan of God giving us the gift of prophecy, is so that we can see what's to come. So imagine Christ has died on the cross, and you have been walking with Christ for those three and a half years. See, you saw all the miracles that were out there, every one of them. You saw lives turned around from being nothing to having a full, normal life. Being blind, and now they can see. A cripple that can now walk. A leper who's unclean now becomes clean. The changes like that you have seen from time to time. And then you see Christ on the cross and you see Him die and you see Him go into the tomb. And you hide because you know that you're probably next. So can you imagine the time where you're walking on this road to, in this case here, the road to Emmaus. You end up meeting somebody, right? And that person starts talking to you. And he starts saying things like this in Luke 24, 25, and 27. He said to them, which was Jesus, but they didn't know it was Jesus at the time, right? "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken," right? Just believe them. And how slow you are sometimes to do that. "Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter His glory? Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning Himself." Can you imagine being the person walking with Jesus and taking all of that prophetic word and making it come to sense about Jesus and the life that He had to live and the struggles and the death that He had to go through so that we can have salvation? Because see, these guys, they heard this and they said, "Were not our hearts burning?" You know, when he was talking about all that scripture and how it really came to, because it just makes sense. The dots were being connected. And not only that, they were part of the story. They were part of that prophecy. Because they were with God. They were the ones that were given some of the gifts to go out and preach the gospel and heal those that were sick. Amazing stories like that. And then to see that Christ has died, but then you realize that Christ is not dead, but he's raised from the dead just as he said he would. Again, one that prophesies something and it comes true, that means that they truly are a prophet of God. It's really important. Let's look at this one here in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, which we've already talked about in the past slides. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of heaven. So what are God's words? Well, if you don't know, you need to start reading. This page that I'm on right now, a lot of red. Okay, red in my Bible means that those are the words of Jesus. And I like that because it just reminds me that he's the one speaking these and it's not just an individual, you know, that experienced it or hearing it second hand, third hand. These are Jesus' words. Words that we're supposed to listen to, as Moses said. And as we look over here, that when we listen to him, then we have the complete understanding, mostly complete, I guess as complete as we get here on this earth, of who God the Father is. Because Jesus is God. And he was here on this earth speaking and actually known as a prophet. Well, prophet and many other things as well. Then he tells us this. Well, let me go to here and just talk about those prophecies of Christ. This is what I put on the back. So this one here, I just threw a few of these in, but there's over 300 prophecies concerning Christ in Scripture. This is not a list of those 300, okay? Just a few, but some of those talking about the tribe that he's coming from, right? So he is the tribe of, remember? Sorry? Yeah, Judah, right? Tribe of Judah. And the birthplace was? Bethlehem. All this is mentioned over there. They talked about his dearth, his birth and his death in Daniel. A lot of that, again, you have to go backtrack because it talks about a kind of a number of years and 7 years and how long those 7 years are. There's an awful lot in there. It's a hard understanding, but we know he was referencing Christ, and so you can take those and reference them back in time. But it's hard to go forward in time when we don't know it. So we know that John the Baptist was mentioned. His ministry and what he came to do in Isaiah, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, becoming that priest king, and his second coming, is all prophesied. Now we don't know when his second coming is. We all want to know, because we all want to be ready, right? In terms of when that's going to happen. We want to have the lights on the house, we want to have the place decorated, right? We want to have the yard cleaned up, so when Jesus comes, it's like, nice, clean place, you know. It's like nobody wants to see my place dirty. But it's not going to happen that way. God leaves those things to the open. We have a lot of people that know exactly when Christ is coming again. Like I said, it wasn't 74, it wasn't 81. We know it's going to be sometime in the future. And it's going to be probably this date because of the Mayan calendar or because of all other stuff that's out there. We don't know. Nobody knows when Christ is coming. Not one person knows. So be clear about that. What we do know is that Christ is coming again. Now the question is, are you going to be ready when he comes? And the gift of prophecy and the remembrance that we do in this Advent is to talk about that prophecy of the coming of Christ the first time. That it became true. So we know that that's true. Well, if that word is true that he came the first time, then Jesus' words that he's coming back again are definitely true because that is the one that was prophesied that was to come the first time, right? So let's look at the things that Jesus spoke to some of his disciples in John 14, 25, 26. Then we're going to jump down to 28 and 29. He says, all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. That's part of the purpose of the Holy Spirit, is to remind us and strengthen us in terms of how, what the things that God said, Jesus said, and all those red words, they come back to life. They're not just words that we can read. They're not just words that we can memorize, but they're words that we put on our heart and live by them. That's participating in what God wants us to do. And as an individual, as a church, that's the very thing that we're supposed to be doing. And if we don't, we're missing out on a whole part of what it means to be Christian. Now, question is, on this one here, did the Holy Spirit come after Jesus left? Dorn's jigging his... Yes, he did! Right! Again, that prophetic word came true. And so that means we can put our trust in the words of Jesus and hang on to them. We may not understand them all, but by faith we believe that those are His true words. And that truth is for us. And then he says, you heard me say, I'm going away, and look at this, I'm coming back to you. We don't know when that's going to happen. If you love me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I, and I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. Jesus did this an awful lot. He told them about 3 days, you know, that he was going to die. He's going to be, even before the death there, he's going to be beaten by the soldiers. He's going to be mocked. And then he's going to die on the cross. And then 3 days later, he's going to rise again. He did. Right? Because he knew what was going to happen. So we look at this, and it gives us that hope that this scripture that we read, the things that I'm preaching right now and preached in the past, the things that you have been doing as living as a Christian, are good things. Very good things. Because you're doing things within the will of God, which means that you are participating in the will of God. That's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want you to be that bystander watching the football game and shouting, you know, things, oh, you should have done this, you should have done that. You know, and how we do sometimes when you're watching those games and you're just, I can't believe, you know, the ref that made that call. And you're cheering when they made the goal and stuff like that. He wants you to be a player in the field. Not just a bystander. And you do that by taking His word as truth, the things that are being said. So He tells us. Then we can go in John 16:4, another time. He says, I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. All right. If you look at Scripture prior to this, Jesus is saying that there's going to come a time when there's going to be wars upon wars. There's going to be more earthquakes, more famines, more disaster, more pestilence. There's going to be all that sort of thing. And there's also going to come a time where people do not want to hear the Word of God. They will reject it. In fact, they're going to think that killing Christians, they're doing God a favor. Can you think of anybody that might have done that in Scripture? Saul, Paul. He was so zealous for the Lord, he was doing everything he could to get rid of the way, which was a Christian walk, by arresting these people, husbands and wives, going into their homes, taking them back to Jerusalem to be put in prison, probably to die. He wanted them to renounce their faith in Jesus, to blaspheme the name of Jesus. That was his goal. Well, God had a different plan for him, right? He was told what he was supposed to do, and he ended up following that. He became a big participant in God's work. Let's read Scripture. Right? That's what we are supposed to do as we're doing that. Christians, when it gets closer to the end times, are going to go through a lot of struggles. Your life is going to be destroyed. It's not going to be the way you want it to be. not because you aren't a good person, not because you aren't you're helping people, not because you can show love, but because of your faith, you will be persecuted. That's mostly in Christian world here in the United States. We don't understand that because we have the right to assemble, right, according to our Constitution. But Jesus is saying there's going to come a time where that isn't so. And he's telling us now so that we are prepared for it. Well, how are we prepared for it? Well, that's why we're here now. That's why we go to Bible study. That's why we do devotions every day. That's why we go out of our comfort zone and for sharing to be able to sing and share the Word of God in song. Marsh and Amando to come up and sing and Hope to play. Because it encourages people to be able to do those things. Right? You're participating in the worship section over here. You're participating in encouraging others to become stronger and stronger in our words so that when this happens, we're not surprised by it. But we're still grounded. Right? And we're going to read some scripture that's going to look at some of that. So let's look at Matthew 24, verses 1 through 14. And as I've talked about this, let's see what it's what's said in scripture. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came upon him to call his attention to its buildings. Think about the temple and the grandioseness of the temple. How big it was, how long it's been, and just, you know, the great things that have been happening in the temple. And you just stand back sometimes and it's like, oh, wow. The structure is so great. This is God. You know, you're looking at that structure. Look what Jesus says. Do you see all these things? I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. Did that happen? Yeah. About 70 years after Christ. The whole temple is just completely destroyed. It's no longer there. Nothing. You might have what they call the wall, but there's nothing really that's there. And as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen and what will be the signs of your coming and the end of the age? Right? So just like we want to know, when is Christ going to be coming back? When are these things going to happen? We need the inside information. You know, it's not so much gossip, but we need to be prepared for it. When this is going to happen? Is this going to happen like next week, or should I be, saving my stones and so we can build this thing back? What do we have to do? Right? That's no different than how we are today. We want to know those things. But let's look at Jesus' response. Jesus answered. He says, "Watch out that no one deceives you." Right? He doesn't really answer him anymore, does he? Not answering that question. But what he's saying is, you need to be prepared. Make sure that people are not going to deceive you. He says, "For many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many." Meaning, there's going to be some false preachers out there. You have to know the false ones from the true ones. You have to be able to discern those spirits. He says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of birth pains." Right? So these things have to happen. We can do all we can to hold it back. And sometimes we try to get into litigation within politics. We try to, force people to do certain things so that they don't, allow these things to happen, because we don't like change very much as humans. When that change comes, can you handle it? Well, one thing that doesn't change is God. There'll be lots of things that'll be happening in this world that go up and down. There's times where we really are, a godly nation, and there's times that we aren't. But God never changes. So put your faith in God, not in the people, not in society, not in your government, not in just the commentators of all this stuff. Put your faith in God, because then you'll be able to weather those events. If you don't, look what happens. Because he says, then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. Wow. Anybody here want to volunteer to be a Christian today? If you know what's going to happen? Right? If this is the deal, I'm signing up to die, and I'm signing up for everybody to hate me in the world, would you sign up for that? Most people are like, no, I'm good. I'm perfectly fine right where I am. And then he says, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will be betrayed and hate each other. Right? Christians will pull away from the faith and hate one another. That's pretty sad. Again, Jesus is saying what's going to happen. He doesn't say when it's going to happen, but he wants you to be prepared. And he says, many false prophets will appear and deceive many people, pulling them away. Oh, follow me. I'll know exactly what's going to happen. I'll protect you from all this destruction. I'll, you know, just follow me. Do the things I say, for I will be the one that will protect you, right? Well, all of a sudden, that I, me stuff, it should be God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit should be in there. And if it's not, we need to know that stuff. It says, because of the increase in wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. He who stands firm in the faith of Jesus Christ will be saved. Your faith that you have right now may be put to the test someday. Prophetic word says so. It may be in our lifetime. It may not be. Either way, are you ready? Are you participating in God's plan right now? Or are you going to be like some of those who, where they say they turn away from God's plan and decide to follow an alternative plan that might seem safer, less controversial? You make the choice. We know what's coming. And it says this. He says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Okay, I'm going to ask you one little question here. Who does the preaching? What's that? Well, look at that. It says it's going to be preached all through the world. So who does that? God's people. So we equate that to Pastor Mike. We're going to send Pastor Mike all over the world to preach the gospel. And we're going to support him with our money. Because he's the preacher. Yeah, right. It ain't going to happen. My English skills are so poor. It's like, I'm not going to be able to get another language in there. But you're right. Doran's over there pointing to himself. These guys are saying, God's people. You as believers are the ones that need to preach the gospel. You become a participant in God's plan. God needs, well, He wants you. He can do things without us. But He chooses to use us to fulfill His plan. He chose Mary. He chose Moses. He chose all those prophets, all those disciples. And He's chosen you to come to be with Him, to know Him intimately. And then share that intimacy with the world. Let them know how God has touched your lives. See, in all honesty, that's the Christmas story. It's not so much that Christ has come, but Christ has come to be with us. And the world needs that. Right, we know the destruction and the chaos that's out there already. We can see that sort of thing. And then I think, is this my last verse? No, I've got two more. So look, if we look here at Luke 18, 7 through 8, it says, and God will not bring about justice for His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night. Can you imagine going through that persecution? God's justice will reign. We may not always see the end result of His justice, but we need to trust that His ways are right. Even when we like, God, fix the world now. Especially if you're, you know, in, you know, the Gaza Strip in Israel, if you're in Ukraine, you know, the war is going on, or if you're down in other countries where there's civil unrest. You know, we want God to come in and just clean this up and straighten it out. But he will, in his time. He says, will he keep putting stuff off? He says, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will he find that you have faith? Or during the persecution, have you given up your faith to not be persecuted? That's the question. It's easy now to say, yeah, I will be. I don't know what it'll be like during that time. What I do know, that time is coming, and I need to be grounded in God's Word so that when the time comes, I am prepared. And I will be told, or I feel like I'm convinced now, that God will win in the end. And I will submit my life to God, even to the point of losing my life. And as Scripture says, I will gain my life with God for eternity if I lose it for Him. We know what's coming. Does this sound like doom and gloom sort of message? I don't want it to be, because it's a message of encouragement that the prophetic word is a good thing. And to know that we're there. Last one over here in Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will, and may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Christ Jesus, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Does this sound like God wants us to be a faraway observer of His plan? Or does it sound to you like God wants you to be in the mix of His plan? What do you say? In the mix. He wants you there. So don't hold back. Because when you do, you miss out on that blessing, right? We need to do what pleases Him, not so much what pleases us. God has taken us out of our comfort zone in a lot of different ways. He's taken me out of a comfort zone. If you saw me back when I was high school speaking in front of a group of people, you would not know that was me. Right? I used to have index cards because I never could remember my words. I'm under so much pressure. And by the time I got up there, I had all those cards mixed up and I didn't know. I never numbered them. So I didn't even know what the order was. And it's like, I'm getting red in the face and I'm bumbling my words. It's terrible. Right? It's taken a long time. I mean, I'm still not very good at it. But my point is that God can take us out of our comfort zone. And it's just amazing what He can do with you. When we trust Him and know that we're doing His will to glorify everything that He wants us to do, there will be good fruit. God's counting on us to tell the word of the prophecy that's out there, that Christ is coming back. Came once, and He's coming back. Are you ready? Amen? Lord, I just thank You for this word, and just continue to be with us and guide us. Especially through this Advent season. It's a reminder of the goodness of God and His promises coming true. There are still more promises to come true. But we hold on to those that have already come, and we just appreciate them. Appreciate all that God has done for us. And it just gives us all that inside fuzzies. It's like, I just want to do more for God. How awesome that is. This we pray through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.